All Talks of Life with Chris Viniquez.
Welcome into the latest edition of All Talks of Life with Chris Viniquez. I am your host. I hope everybody's been having a good week. I hope you had a good time and been blessed since the last time I talked to you. I want to ask you a question today. But before I ask you that question, I just want to let you know that ever since the last time I spoke to you, everything's been good. Can't complain. God has been great. Life has been great. And again, you're great for listening today. Let me ask you this question. I want to start off by asking you, have you ever gotten a DUI? For those that don't know, that means driving under the influence. Have you ever gotten one? I could say I have never, ever, thank the Lord, gotten a DUI. I've never been pulled over by the police, and I've never been ticketed for driving under the influence. But I have been checked by God. I have been checked by His Word, and I have been checked by His Holy Spirit because I've been living under the influence. Now, my second question is, have you been living under the influence? That's my subject today. That's what I want to get to as I open the show. I want to ask you, have you been caught living under the influence? Why do I ask this? Why do I say this? Well, a couple different things. A lot of you know that. A lot of you heard by now that there was a certain concert out in Astro World done by Travis Scott. A lot of people reported that when he came out to the stage and the portal was open, that they felt like they couldn't breathe. A lot of people started fainting. During the course of this concert, tragically, 8 people passed away, and now it's been reported a 9th person passed away days later in a hospital. That's what's been reported. That's what has been reported. So obviously, a lot of people call into question when they see the videos, when they hear the chants and things like that. Was it a concert? Or was it a demonic ritual? Was it an influence of the demonic realm? So I ask you this question today. Have you been caught living under the influence? Now, I want to go into the Word and I want to tell you about a certain time where there were certain people living under the influence and a certain person that was an influencer. And that comes from the book of Acts, chapter 16, verses 16 to 24. The Bible tells us that there were two men, Paul and Silas, you could call them apostles, missionaries. They were on their way down to prayer. This is one of the more famous stories in the Word. But if you forgot, let me refresh your memory. They were on their way down to prayer, and it says that a certain slave girl who was possessed with a spirit of divination met them. The Bible also records to us that this girl brought a lot of profit, a lot of money to her masters, to those who promoted her. Because she was a person that, she was a woman that would charge for her fortune-telling services, and she would bring herself much money, but those who promoted her even more money, because obviously they were the ones out there doing the legwork, letting people know, hey, we got this person right here that can let you know what's going on, what's going to happen in your future. Obviously, we know as people in the Spirit of God that that is not the case, because the devil cannot tell the future, cannot predict the future accurately. He can guess, by patterns and things of that nature, history, the way it has unfolded, the way it might unfold again, the way that he wants it to unfold. But the devil can't predict the future. The devil doesn't know the future because the devil is not omniscient. Only God is omniscient. So obviously, this woman right here was possessed by a devil, by a demon, if you will. If you look in history, history tells us that she was possessed by the spirit of Python. For those that study this kind of stuff, they said that this woman was possessed with the spirit of Python. This is not something that the Bible actually illustrates, but in the Greek term that she was called, it has been deemed that she was possessed by a spirit of Python, a snake type spirit. Obviously, we know that in the beginning, the serpent, the snake, was a deceiver. So we can derive that this woman with the spirit of Python was a deceiver. We knew that she was a deceiver. We can derive, that that spirit of Python was the one that had her deceiving people. That serpent of old had her deceiving people into thinking that she knew the future. And obviously, she got some money off of that. And her handlers got money off of that. Now, how does that pertain to nowadays? That pertains because there are a lot of people out here that are influencers, social media influencers, whether they be musicians, movie stars, whether they be whatever they are, models, whatever it is that they are, whoever it is that they are influencing athletes, that they're influencing the culture, that they're influencing people, that people, I'll say it more correctly, people are allowing themselves to be influenced by these people. Regular civilian folk, non-influencers, not famous, people that don't have a lot of followers are allowing themselves to be influenced by others who have talent and gifts, others who have given themselves over into the demonic realm and said, yo, I'm gonna sign a deal with the devil, right? There's a story out there. Now, this may be true or not. I don't know if she has said this. Maybe she has. I think she has. Lady Gaga was saying that one day she was, you know, a no-name nobody, and some guy in a suit comes up to her and says, hey, if you sign this contract, I guarantee you I'm gonna get you millions of followers and a lot of wealth and things like that. Now, certain people have said out there, I'm not saying that Lady Gaga said that. Maybe she did, maybe she didn't. Maybe somebody out there correct me, they would know better. But there are certain people out there, certain artists, certain famous people that have said that they have signed a deal with the devil. That they have sold their soul to the devil. Obviously, but let me put you on right now. You cannot sell your soul to the devil. You might think that you can sell your soul to the devil, but you can't. Because your soul belongs to God and it was purchased by Jesus Christ on the cross. So if you make a contract with the enemy and then you repent of that and you come to Jesus and you say, hey, I want to live life under the influence of the Spirit, you can do that. So it's not sold to the devil. Now, this woman right here was an influencer in her day. And there are influencers nowadays that have handlers that make a lot of money off of them. So, hey, look, I'm a record label. I got this person out here talking about whatever it is that you like. I got this person out here putting their blood in a sneaker. I got this person out here in a certain concert with 50,000 people doing a ritual, doing chants. I got this person out here making you feel good. I got this woman out here that's telling you how to be sexy, that's telling you what sexy is, that's telling you how you should live your life as a woman, instead of you going and following what the Bible says. Let me get you somebody that can influence you with their talent, with their gift, and let you know how to live, that it's okay, according to these people, influencers, handlers of influencers to be divorced 3 or 4 or 5 times. That's a real woman, they say. We know that's not what the Bible says, but that's what the influencers say. And that's what certain people are allowing themselves to be influenced by. Are you one of these people that are living under that influence? I used to live under that influence. The influence of music that is drugs, killing, selling drugs, various women. That influence that I have you think that all these things are correct, that this is life. Misogyny. The influence of the demonic. The influence of a whole bunch of things, because all these kind of, there are different types of music in the world. Don't just think I'm talking about one genre. It's different types of music. Telling you that it's okay to live in premarital sex. That it's okay to sleep around. That it's all right to love money. But we know the Bible says that the root of evil is the love of money, not money itself. The love of money. And we got people out here, athletes, showing you it's all right to love money. We got other influencers out here talking about it's all right to love money. And we see the corruption that the love of money has brought onto people. They love money so much, they done said, I will sell my soul to the devil, apparently. They love money so much, I'll influence people to do wrong things that I want to influence my kid to do. They love money so much, I'm going to influence little girls to influence in a way that I wouldn't influence my daughter. They love money so much, I'm going to influence young boys to do things I wouldn't want my son to do. But they love money. And they tell you it's okay to love money. And they know that there are certain things they wouldn't let their kids do, that they want your kids to do, all so they could pocket some money. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. So this woman right here, a lover of money, was influencing people to think that their lives would turn out good, that something good was going to happen. Meanwhile, she was lying to them. Just as people in Hollywood and the music industry and athletes are lying to you today and lying to us today. Because I watch sports. I'm on social media. I read some of the stuff. Now, it doesn't mean that I'm allowing that influence to guide me anymore. It doesn't mean that I'm under the influence, but I'm aware of what some of these people say, what some of these people do. And I'm not saying to completely shut yourself in a box and not be aware of what's going on. That's not what I'm saying. I'm telling you that you could be aware of what's going on and still not live under the influence. The handlers of this woman lived under the influence of money. Lived under the influence of evil. And they deceive people, promoting her. Promoting her, promoting lies, promoting things that they knew weren't real, that weren't true. But because they could get money, they promoted it. They lived under the influence. So what is the influence that you are allowing today to be in your life and in your home that will be checked by God that you know ain't right? You got to self-check and say, hey, man, I got to run down this list. What is influencing me? Who is influencing me? Who is influencing my children? Because I know that there are a lot of parents right now that are saying, man, I wish I would have never let my kid go to that Travis Scott concert. Man, I wish I would have never let my child do this or do that or hear this or hear that or watch this or watch that. Because the influence that came out of that was an influence that was no good, was an influence that was damaging to their lives. You got to think about, look into, who are the influencers in your community? Who are the influencers that you need? Who are the influencers that you want? That's what you got to look into right now. Who are you allowing to influence your thought process, your heart, your soul, your spirit? Who are you allowing to influence your body? That's a question too. Look around you and say, what have I allowed? Who have I allowed to let me live under the influence? Who have I allowed to guide me to live under the influence? Because living under the influence other than God is living under an influence that is blinded, that is misguided, that is lying to you. But living under the influence of the Spirit of God will take you to the place where Paul and Silas were, that they got annoyed that a person who was not a source of truth kept bugging them and kept saying something that was true, but they are not the source of truth. So he turned around and rebuked the evil spirit out of the woman. And when the evil spirit came out of the woman, she got upset and she got sad because she was no longer able to make money, because she knew that divining spirit was no longer in her. That lying spirit was no longer in her, but she wanted it in her. She wanted that bad influence in her life to show you where she was. Look at her mind. Look where she was. Her handlers got upset because they couldn't make money anymore, because they no longer could influence people and they no longer could get that lie to make them money, that evil spirit to make them money. So look where their minds were, where their hearts were. But Paul and Silas rebuked that devil right out of her because their influence came from the influence of the Spirit of God. So they were being influenced by God himself, by the word, and they were being influenced by the right thing, and they were going the right way. And obviously we know that the light is greater than the darkness, that God is greater than the enemy. So we got to get into that influence every day from God, from his spirit, from his word. Because you see right now the influence that's going on in the world, in the satanic. You see the world, you see the influence that is going on right now outside of the kingdom of God, and it's not looking pretty. You see the influence that people have objectifying people as they watch pornography. You see the influence that's going on right now through music videos and the things and the ways that people are taking and how far it's going right now. There's a lot more influences, y'all. A lot more. Think on them. Analyze them in your home and say, this influence needs to leave. I'm going to cut off this influence. Make a decision today to say, I'm going to stop living under the influence before I get ticketed and checked by God. And I'm going to live under the influence of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. I'll be right back with the NFL midseason awards. And to end off the show, I'm going to get into some boxing. This is All Talks of Life. Bittersweet moment for me right now as I get into the NFL midseason awards. Bitter because there's less football now to go than there was when we started the season. But there has been 10 exciting weeks in the NFL. Stuff that you can't call, stuff you would have never called. You know, Washington beating the Bucks, the Broncos blowing out the Cowboys, the Lions tying with the Steelers. I mean, just some stuff. The Bengals blowing out the Ravens, the Saints blowing out the Green Bay Packers 38-3 on opening night. There's just been some stuff going on in the NFL. It's been fun. Some teams starting out hot, now they reverted back. Kansas City started out cold, now they're reverting back. So we see the NFL shaping up after 10 weeks, some good stuff. And I want to get into it with my mid-season NFL awards, All Talks of Life mid-season NFL awards. I'm going to start out with MVP right now, and I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers. That's right. Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers, who missed a game due to COVID and then came back on Sunday night and his team beat the Seattle Seahawks 17-0. They're 8-2 at the moment as I speak. Aaron Rodgers himself is 17th in yards, 9th in touchdowns, 5th in interceptions, 6th in QBR. So he's top 10 in three of the more four important stats for quarterbacks in the National Football League. Now, another reason why I got Aaron Rodgers as the midseason MVP right now, obviously before the season on the show, me and Mike, we picked Patrick Mahomes, and I had picked Josh Allen to be a guy to look out for to win the MVP. Both things are not happening right now. I would say that Pat Mahomes could sneak up and get some honorable mentions if he continues to play well as he's played the last 2 weeks, calms down on the interceptions, and the team continues to win. But right now, I got Aaron Rodgers as the midseason NFL MVP winner. Why? Because the Green Bay Packers handed, one of the things I'll say is the Green Bay Packers handed the Arizona Cardinals their first loss. Aaron Rodgers was in the center. And in that game, Davante Adams, Allen Lazard, and Marquez Valdes-Scantling were not playing. His top three receivers, he didn't have them available. And they went up against the best team in the NFL at that point, and probably still are. And Aaron Rodgers and his team pulled out that game. It was by 3 points, but they pulled the game out. He threw two touchdowns to Randall Cobb. This is why he wanted him back, a security blanket, a guy he could trust to run the right route, to get in the right spot, to throw the ball to when needed. So, that's one of my things. Because you say, well, oh, he's 17th in yards, he's 9th in touchdowns. All right, he may not be top five in those two. But let's also not forget that when Aaron Rodgers went down with COVID, Aaron Rodgers' team lost to the Kansas City Chiefs, and KC looked bad that game, 13-7. Had Aaron Rodgers been in that game, we could surmise or we could believe that they would have won that game. Aaron Rodgers against that Kansas City Chiefs defense, putting up only 7 points or fewer, I don't think that was going to happen. And I'm pretty sure that if you're listening to me right now, you don't think that would have happened either. So Jordan Love comes in the game, looks bad, and they only put up 7 points. The Chiefs put up 13. The Packer defense puts up a great game against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, and the Packers lose the game. They need Aaron Rodgers. You could tell in that game, they need Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers comes back. And Aaron Rodgers and his squad win the game 17-0 versus the Seattle Seahawks. So they're 8-2 right now. One loss with Rodgers on the center. One loss without Rodgers on the center. They look terrible in both losses. But you can definitely tell this team needs Aaron Rodgers. So that's my case for Aaron Rodgers MVP right now. There are other guys in the mix. But with the way that things are shaping out at this point in time, I got Aaron Rodgers number one. You can still put Kyler Murray up there. His team lost without him. His team won a game also without him. Tom Brady, been, you know, two losses are squarely on his shoulders for throwing some late picks. But he's having a tremendous season. He's still leading the league in touchdown. I think he's second in yards right now. Third in yards, I believe, as I speak right now. But Tom Brady's still up there. I mean, there's a couple other guys that you got. You know, let's not forget about Matt Stafford. Let's not forget about Lamar Jackson, who I think is the only quarterback in the AFC right now that has a chance to win the MVP. I don't think Ryan Tannehill, they got the best record in the AFC right now as I speak at 8-2. But that defense is doing great things. They're spreading the ball around. Ryan Tannehill is not the reason why they're winning the games. But right now, he's not the reason they're losing games either, because they're on a 6-game win streak right now as I speak. So there's some contenders. I got Aaron Rodgers sticking out right now above everybody else. But as we go forward in this season, what's been so fun is that it shakes up. There hasn't been a clear-cut MVP this season yet. We'll continue to see how the season rolls out. Next award, Offensive Player of the Year. I don't think that this is even a debate at this point in time. As I speak right now, Derrick Henry has missed a week and a half. Now, he's going to miss the rest of the season, so he's going to miss a lot of games. He's going to obviously fall out the running, but he hasn't played for a game and a half, and Derrick Henry still leads the league in rushing. Obviously, when the next game takes place on Sunday, he's going to lose that lead. But it's incredible that he could miss a week and a half and still be the league leader in rushing. That's amazing. Had he kept playing, I would have small doubt that he could have lost his award. But he's out, and this is my guy right now. Number one in receptions, number one in yards, number one in touchdowns, number one in yards per game, and number two in yards after the catch. That is Cooper Kupp. That brother is balling right now. Straight balling. You know the ball is going to him. Matthew Stafford is force feeding him, going to him on almost every play. Cooper Kupp has the most targets in the league, the most catches in the league. He's going to work this season. I'm just like, wow. I knew this dude was good, but I didn't know he was this good. Like number one, number one, number one, number one, number two type of good. Like he's top two in all the relevant stats for wide receivers. Cooper Kupp needed Matt Stafford. Now you could tell Jared Goff wasn't that guy. It's looking like Matt Stafford is an upgrade. We knew that he was an upgrade coming in, and we could see that he's an upgrade coming in. Cooper Kupp having a career year right now. He's leading the league in all of these categories. I think it's no doubt right now. For me, I don't think there's an argument in Offensive Player of the Year. Now, obviously, he cannot affect the game the way that a quarterback affects the game. So I'm not going to say that he's the MVP. But when he touches that ball, or when he runs a route, he's getting the ball. He's catching that ball. And he's going places. Cooper Kupp right now, Offensive Player of the Year. I don't know how far the Rams are going to make it, because their run defense right now is not looking that good. Obviously, they just signed OBJ and Von Miller. They are still my pick to win the Super Bowl. I am not going to get off of that. I am not booking it. But yes, they are still my pick. The run defense looked horrible on Monday night versus the 49ers. The run defense has been inconsistent throughout the season. Even with Aaron Donald in the middle. That's the guy that they got. But all the other guys are small, finesse guys. They pass rush great. That the Rams do. If you get down on the Rams, it's a problem. If the Rams get up on you by two scores, it's a big problem. They're getting to that quarterback. But Cooper Kupp right now, Offensive Player of the Year. Offensive Rookie of the Year, man, this is such a good debate. I'm not even going to lie. This is a really, really good debate. Really good thought process went into this one. I'm going to tell you why. I got two guys right now in the running for Offensive Rookie of the Year. I got Ja'Marr Chase and I got Mac Jones. Now, listen to the cases and then you say, hey, who you think is number one? Now, let me go with Ja'Marr Chase first, and these are stats amongst rookies. Ja'Marr Chase, amongst rookies, is second in receptions, first in yards, first in touchdowns, first in average yards per game as a wide receiver, and I'm sorry, first in total average per catch and total in yards per game as a receiver. Mac Jones, among rookies, is number one in yards, touchdowns, interceptions, quarterback rating, completion percentage, and completions. Number one across the board amongst rookies. Ja'Marr Chase is number two in one of those categories in the most important stats for wide receivers, and then number one across the board. So you say, well, got to be Mac Jones. Mac Jones' team, they have a better record right now than the Bengals. He's number one across the board. Ja'Marr Chase is number two in one category. You got to say, hey, it's Mac Jones, right? Ah, but here's the thing, though. Here's where we switching it up. Because remember, another thing we got to remember. Offensive Rookie of the Year and Offensive Player of the Year, these are not things that you're going to say, this is the most valuable person. Because usually, that's a wide receiver, and that's a quarterback and a running back. Because those are the two guys on the team that touch the ball the most. The guys that score the most touchdowns. When a running back wins the award, usually he has more touches than all the wide receivers on his team and more touchdowns than all the wide receivers on his team as an individual per every individual. I think it's been a while since a running back has won the MVP. Don't quote me on that. But they have won MVP before. They touch the ball a lot. But obviously with the way the NFL is going right now, it's becoming and has become more of a quarterback award because so much is predicated upon and thrown on the shoulders of the quarterbacks. But Offensive Rookie of the Year, strictly offense, who is being more outstanding as an offensive player? For me, in the entire NFL, it's right now as an strictly offensive player, it's Cooper Kupp. I just made my case. Now, who's being strictly outstanding on the offensive side of the ball as a rookie? Here we go. In the league. Now, take these stats right here. These are league-wide stats where both guys stand. This is where the conversation gets a little more interesting. Ja'Marr Chase, league-wide, receptions, he's 27th. Yards, 5th. Touchdowns, 5th. Yards per catch, 3rd. Yards per game, 4th. Let's go to Mac Jones. Mac Jones, league-wide, 14th in yards, 17th in touchdowns, 17th in interceptions, 18th in QBR, 4th in completion percentage, and 8th in completions. I got to say that Mac Jones as a rookie being 4th in completion percentage and being 8th in completions is very impressive. I got to say that. But Mac Jones is not even top 15 in QBR, touchdowns, and interceptions. So, I got to go with Ja'Marr Chase. I'm going with Ja'Marr Chase because amongst the league, so many wide receivers. And then Mac Jones going against, obviously, 31 other quarterbacks. But obviously, we know that there are so many more wide receivers. Ja'Marr Chase is top 5 in 4 of the most important wide receiver categories. Top 5. We played that game here before. Top 5. Mac Jones, only 2 of them. Outside of the top 13 in 4 of them. I'm going with Ja'Marr Chase right now as the Offensive Rookie of the Year. Listen, another thing I'll say about Ja'Marr Chase. Ja'Marr Chase is on pace. Obviously, it's not. The season has not ended. But Ja'Marr Chase is also on pace to have one of the most historic wide receiver seasons of all time. Probably he's on pace to have a better rookie season as a wide receiver than Randy Moss. He's not on pace to break his touchdown record. He's on pace to get close to that. But he's on pace to break the yards record. He's on pace to having multiple records set as a rookie wide receiver. Obviously, we'll check back in when the season ends. But right now, at this point in time, mid-season, Ja'Marr Chase is having a historic season from the wide receiver position as a rookie. As a rookie. So offensive rookie of the year right now for me is Ja'Marr Chase. All right. Coach of the year. I got two guys right now, some honorable mentions. Obviously, we could talk about some great coaches. For me right now, coach of the year is Mike Vrabel. I'm going to tell you why. Mike Vrabel, his team right now is 8-2 as I speak. But Mike Vrabel hangs his hat on defense. Last year, this defense, they weren't getting to the quarterback that good. And they had Jadeveon Clowney. They don't even have Clowney now. They replaced him with Bud Dupree. Simmons is getting to the quarterback. Bud Dupree, you know, he's Bud Dupree. So the pass rush has been a little better this year. They've been getting to the quarterback. And as a result of that, they're getting some more interceptions this season. So the back half is playing better because the front half is playing better. And I got to say that they didn't make a big, huge splash in getting a defensive guy. I think Bud Dupree was probably their biggest splash. But Mike Vrabel got these guys in a scheme, coaching this team. Kevin Byard is back there becoming one of the best safeties in the National Football League right now. And they're doing their thing. They're doing what they got to do as a defense. They're getting to the ball. And they are holding teams to numbers that we didn't think they would hold teams to. Another reason why I got Mike Vrabel as the coach of the year is that his team, they are not top 5 or top 10 in most offensive categories. Now, rushing the ball, yeah, because Derrick Henry was there. So Derrick Henry had a bulk of that. But Derrick Henry's no longer there. And they won 2 weeks without Derrick Henry. So for me right now, Mike Vrabel, with all those things being said, this season at the midway point, I got him as the coach of the year. Now, I think it's close. I'm not going to say it's some kind of blowout. I think it's close. Cliff Kingsbury to me is number 2, 8-2. They won without Kyler Murray, but they also just lost without Kyler Murray. And they had a surprising start. I think they were 7-0 to start off the season. The last undefeated team in the NFL. And obviously the Packers beat them by 3. So I got Cliff Kingsbury at number 2. He's been answering some questions this year. J.J. Watt is out. And they won a game without him and DeAndre Hopkins and Kyler Murray. Now, they lost the last game, but they did get a win without them. So, Cliff Kingsbury, number 2 for me. Obviously, some honorable mentions right now. I would have said Mike Tomlin had they won the game versus the Lions, but they tied. It helps them to stay in the playoffs because they didn't lose. But I'm not going to say honorable mention. But I do like the job that he's doing this year because this team right now, they shouldn't be where they're at. They shouldn't be in the playoffs. This offensive line is terrible. Ben Roethlisberger is no longer the quarterback he used to be. Ben Roethlisberger is done. He's not going to win a Super Bowl. He can be smart enough and make good enough decisions and scheme good enough with the offensive coordinator that they could possibly get in the playoffs as an 8th or 7th seed. But they're not going to win the Super Bowl. The AFC, man, it's tight right now. And the Steelers are in the mix. But they got that tie with the Lions. And I'm going to say that I am not going to put him right now at the midseason point at consideration, but I do like the job that he's done. Bill Belichick, rookie quarterback, Honorable mention. Look what he's doing with a rookie quarterback right now. 6-4. Half game, sitting a half game behind the Bills right now. Before the season started, I made a prediction. I said, they're going to end up number two. That, for me, was going to be the number two team in the AFC East. And right now they are. And they possibly could get number one. I'm not ruling that out. And to do it with a rookie quarterback under center, I think that's really good. The defense is playing the way I thought the defense would play. Opportunistic. Going to work. Doing what they got to do. I'm going to put Bill Belichick in as an honorable mention. Obviously, Matt LaFleur, 8-2. Sean McVay somewhere in there, 7-3. But they've had some bad losses. But I'm just saying honorable mentions right now. To me right now is Vrabel and Cliff Kingsbury right now. Those are the two candidates right now. I'm going to go with Mike Vrabel number one. Those are the NFL mid-season awards from All Talks of Life. But I got to move on. I got to move on to the end of the show. I got to move on to the last segment. And boy, am I excited. Woo! Because on Saturday, November 20th, 2021. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It's happening. On ESPN Plus, pay-per-view. Terrence Bud Crawford versus Showtime Sean Porter. That's right, baby, for the 147 WBO welterweight championship of the world. I'm a boxing head. I can't get enough. But this right here is the cream of the crop. The creme de la creme. The top. This is the top. At 147. Now it's not the fight that we all want. It's not Terrence Bud Crawford versus Errol Spence Jr. I understand that. But it's pretty dang close. And it's with a guy that I know to be exciting in Sean Porter. I think Terrence Crawford is the better fighter. And I think Errol Spence is right there with him. I think Sean Porter is a notch below those guys. But this guy in excitement, he does not lack. He does not disappoint. I'm pumped for this one, y'all. I am ready to see Terrence Crawford against the best fighter that he's fought. And I'm ready to see Sean Porter against arguably the best fighter that he's fought. Because he did fight Errol Spence. Woo! Terrence Crawford, baby. I think Terrence is the best welterweight in the world. I know that he doesn't have the resume at welterweight that Errol Spence has. But I do have Crawford in the top three, top two pound-for-pound fighters in the world. Canelo's number one. You come at me with whatever you want. I'm telling you. If you tell me Canelo is not number one, I'm going to bury you in that argument. Canelo's one. I think Crawford is two. I think that the second best pound-for-pound fighter in the world is fighting on Saturday, and we're going to see what's going to happen. I think it's going to be some fireworks, ladies and gentlemen. But let me run it down for you really fast. Before I give you my synopsis or my thoughts on the fight. Showtime Sean Porter coming in as the challenger. The former welterweight champion of the world is 31-3 with a draw and 17 knockouts. His notable wins are against Devin Alexander, Paulie Malignaggi, Adrian Broner, Andre Berto. And his best win is against Danny Garcia. Now, those are some good guys. I don't think any of them are going into the Hall of Fame. But in this era, those guys were all world champions, all good fighters. And they are guys that will test you, not bums. Guys who can get an elite win on a given night. Danny Garcia being the best of the bunch. Now, he does have some key losses, does Showtime Sean Porter. his key losses are against Kell Brook, Keith Thurman, and he fought Errol Spence, who a lot believe is the best welterweight in the world right now. Terrence Bud Crawford, the champ, is 37-0. No draws, 28 knockouts. He is the former lightweight champion of the world, the former super lightweight champion of the world, and he is the current WBO welterweight champion of the world. Terrence Bud Crawford has beat Yuriorkis Gamboa, Victor Pausto, Julius Ndongo, and that was for all the belts at 140 pounds. That was to become undisputed at 140. First time that ever happened. And that happened under Terrence Bud Crawford. He beat Amir Khan, and he also beat Kell Brook, who beat Sean Porter. So, my thoughts on the fights are this. Like I said, I can't wait for this fight. But my thing is that Terrence Bud Crawford, the man who could box orthodox, the man who could box, and that means righty, y'all, and the man who could box southpaw, that means lefty, for those who don't know. So the man could go both ways if he wants. He could come in and start right-handed. He could come in, he could start left-handed. He could switch during the fight. He knows how to fight both ways. I got to give this man props. His defense is really good. It's not elite on a level like Shakur Stevenson or Guillermo Rigondeaux or guys like that, Floyd Mayweather or Canelo Alvarez. It's not elite defense. But it's also hard to hit this dude. His defense is very good. Terrence Bud Crawford can come in, fight on the inside. Terrence Crawford could fight in the middle of the ring if you want. Terrence Crawford could do it almost all. Terrence Crawford doesn't have a huge right hand. I'm not going to say he has a huge right hand when he's orthodox. But he has a really good jab when he fights lefty. A good lead right jab. And Terrence Crawford has a good left hand. Terrence Crawford has great timing. He'll put some punches on you that you won't see coming. Some punches on you. He'll put them right where he needs to put them at the time that he needs to put them. He's not a one-punch knockout guy, but he got 37 wins and 28 knockouts. Terrence Crawford can place those punches as a master craftsman where he needs to place them and get you out of there if he needs to get you out. Terrence Crawford is one of the best finishers in boxing. People need to understand that. If he sees you hurt, if he feels that you're a little hurt or winded, he's going right after you. But Terrence Crawford will do it in a smart way. Sean Porter, I think that he's going to bring the fight. I think that as I've seen him, Sean Porter brings that fight. He comes forward. What he knows how to do, his defense is his offense. He's going to throw punches in bunches. He's going to go out there. He's going to leave his chin in the air. He's not going to rely on his defense, on his movement. He's going to rely on getting you out of there. He's going to rely on scaring you, on walking you down. He's going to rely on punching you till you say, all right, I got to cover up and I can't throw right now. That's what Sean Porter is going to rely on. And that makes for an exciting fight. That makes for an exciting 12 rounds. But I don't think this one goes the distance, y'all. I think that Terrence Crawford, the master craftsman, the master boxer that he is going to get Sean Porter out of there somewhere late. 9, 10, or 11th round. TKO stoppage. I think that Terrence Crawford is going to just wait for the right time, the right punch, or the right combo with this guy Porter, who's a wild thrower, who loves to just throw punches in bunches. But like I said, Terrence Crawford has very good defense. But I said that he also has great timing, elite timing. He knows how to time his punches. He knows where to put his punches. And Terrence Crawford is going to put some punches together late in this fight. Because I think that he's also, I think he's also a guy who gets in better shape than Sean Porter. So somewhere late in this fight, and let me not even let you think that Sean Porter's a slouch, that he's not in good shape. No. Sean Porter is in great shape. Sean Porter can do what he has to do. Sean Porter can go in deep waters. Don't get it twisted. Sean Porter can definitely go to work. But I think that Terrence Crawford is the guy that is in better shape and is going to go to work in this fight, and late in this fight is going to catch him with a nice combo, put him down, and then see him hurt, and then go in for the score and get that TKO win. I'm excited for this fight. I can't wait for Saturday night. ESPN Plus pay-per-view. I believe that Terrence Crawford is going to show everyone why he's the number 2 pound-for-pound fighter in the world, why he's the best welterweight in the world. And I want Errol Spence to say, yo, Al Haymon, get this fight done. We need to give it to the fans. We need to show up, give them what they want. Number one versus number two, however you want to argue it. But let's get it on. Let's go to work. Let's get the best fighting the best. That's what we got to do. That's how we prove who's who. Step it up, Errol. Prove it. Say you the man, fight the man. Step it up, Terrence. You say you the man, fight the man. Hagler Hearns fought. Hagler Leonard fought. Duran and Leonard fought. Duran and Hearns fought. Ali fought Foreman. Ali fought Frazier. Ali fought Liston. Ali fought the dudes you wanted him to fight. And he got it done. Most of the time. Because he did lose to Joe Frazier once. But Ali got it done. He fought Floyd Patterson twice. He got it done. What are y'all waiting on? Let's get to work. Number one versus number two. Best versus the best. Come on now, man. I need to see this fight. But before all of that, Saturday, November 20th, 9 p.m., pay-per-view, ESPN+, Terrence Crawford versus Sean Porter. So this one's going to be fireworks. Get ready. I know I am. Ladies and gentlemen, as I end this show, never ever forget, no matter what's going on, that God is great. No matter how your life looks, never ever forget, someone's in a worse situation and life is great. And I don't want you to go out of here without forgetting that you are great for listening today.
Talks of Life with Chris Benicuez.